Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
This episode is sponsored by R.W. Knudsen Organic Just Tart Cherry Juice, a welcome addition to anyone's sleep routine. Pace Case, if you know me, and you do, you know that I'm working all hours of the day, all hours of the night. So the sleep that I do get has to be very good sleep, and I'm always looking for ways to up my sleep routine. Sometimes I'll read a book to go to sleep. Sometimes
The Bachelor?
That book keeps me very awake. It's very engaging. That never puts me to sleep. I will sometimes just put down my cell phone after a long day of looking at a screen. It's nice to get some time away from the screen. I also will incorporate some R.W. Knudsen Organic Just Tart Cherry Juice. It truly makes you go to sleep a little easier. It's the thing you need to help you drift off into the dreamland.
As more and more people are looking to prioritize sleep, Organic Just Tart Cherry is having a moment thanks to Tart Cherry's potential sleep-related benefits and potential to aid in muscle recovery when you get those gains like clues. We're seeing this in the viral Sleepy Girl Mocktail trend on social media. R.W. Knudsen has a whole lineup of natural juices with zero added sugar, so you can feel good about adding them to your wellness routine. It's all about celebrating those daily wins. Organic Just Tart Cherry Juice is made from tart cherries, which may help you get a better night's sleep because they have natural melatonin.
R.W. Knudsen crushes only 100% real ingredients, so you can crush everything you do. Pick up a bottle at your local grocery store today.
It's the Game of Roses. Welcome to the Game of Roses. This is the Game of Roses. Welcome to the Game of Roses.
Hey guys, I'm Victoria Fuller. This is a safe space for me to talk with friends and people I admire about topics ranging from personal growth, relationships, insecurities, religion, and everything in between. I decided to start a podcast because I feel like in the past, I didn't have control over my story. So I want to give people a platform to share their stories, their way, and from their perspectives. From laughing to crying, we will do it all, uncensored. Welcome to my podcast, Uncensored Saints.
Welcome to Game of Roses. This is Pace Case.
And this one is Bachelor Clues.
This one.
This host of this show.
This voice.
This co-host is Bachelor Clues.
The dulcet tones of Clues.
That's right. It's Friday. So you know what that means. This week in Bachelor Nation, we're going to give you the tids, the gains, the parasocial plays, the screams. What else do we give?
State of the game.
We do have a very special state of the game for you as well. We have a very special guest. We will be getting to her momentarily. But before we get to any of that, we got a little bit of biz, as always. We are on Book Watch.
Book Watch.
Still no indication that the producers will cut into the program.
No book yet. Three episodes.
I'm still hopeful. Am I? I don't know. Maybe I'm deluding myself. But
I want it to happen. I'll say that much.
Opto 2023. It's going to happen. And the book is going to be worth even more than it was when it came out a year ago. And if you want one of these dulcet tones to use their fingers to sign your book, come to the Grove March 1st at 1 p.m. and we'll be there. And we might be making some special content along the way.
Yes. But please, everybody who's in Los Angeles, come on out to this. This is our triumphant return to the grounds from which we were banned a little over a year ago when we tried to do this ourselves without alerting anyone at the Grove or Barnes & Noble that we would be appearing with what turned out to be a procession of maybe 100 people, including Sweet Nums and Jet and Jack, who came out for this event.
And my mom.
And your mother.
My real mom, other than Sweet Nums, who's my parasocial mom.
Right. So we hope that you will join us at the Grove once again. That is Wednesday, March 1st, 1 p.m. at the Barnes & Noble in the Grove here in Los Angeles.
Yeah. I mean, we gotta take it back. And for some of us, the Grove represents trauma. For me, this one. Mm-hmm. For this one, it represents trauma. For that one, he wanted to get banned. But we both shall return, and we're not nervous.
Why would we be?
Because of the trauma.
Okay. The trauma's in our past. The Grove is now no longer a traumatic place.
It turned out to be an error. You should tell places where you're going to be going to sign books, it turns out.
That is true. And we have done that this time. So once again, we hope you join us. But now, let's move on, Pace Case, and do what we came here to do. Let's begin this week in Bachelor Nation with
Game of Roses. State of the Game.
We have a very special guest joining us for State of the Game today. She is a comedian, actress, writer, LA icon, and Bachelor fan. She currently performs with Christina P. across the country, who you may know from Your Mom's House. She recently performed in the Netflix is a Joke Comedy Festival and will be appearing in the newest season of Curb Your Enthusiasm. That's awesome. Her comedy special and album, People Pleaser, are available now. We are humbled to be joined by Chase O'Donnell.
Oh my gosh, what an intro. Thank you. I'm so happy to be here. This is truly an honor. I love your podcast, so thank you so much. Oh,
well, thank you very much.
That's so nice.
Let's get down to it. Now, you are a comedian and a fan of The Bachelor. What do you think of Katie Thurston branching out into stand-up comedy?
Okay, I know that you guys are excited about this.
Yes, that's true.
And listen, I've never met her. And if I do meet her, I'm sure I'll be like out of my mind and asking to take pictures and bowing down to her. But she wasn't my favorite bachelorette. I had a really tough time watching her season. And I'm thrilled that she's trying stand-up. It's just, it's a very, very hard skill, and it takes a long time, and she's just jumping in, which is great for her. But from the I don't know, the stand-up community is a little
you believe that dues need to be paid. Is this a little bit like Brennan Schaub trying to be a stand-up? Is it a similar kind of thing?
I think she's paid her dues because she clearly has a huge following. I just think for a newer stand-up, it's hard to just go on stage and kill. It's going to take some time to get there.
Some reps.
Yeah.
All right.
That's my opinion. It's controversial. Look at me starting off just so controversial.
No, of course. I mean, anything takes iterations. Anything takes practice, of course.
You know, I think you should start any interview with forming a potential rivalry with someone else.
I know. Now I'm really scared. Now I'm scared. If I meet her, I do love her. Okay. I take it all back.
If I may, you were talking about how that season was a hard one for you to get through.
Yeah.
Let's go back, if we may, to 2020, the first bubble season. We're talking about Bachelorette 16, Claire Crawley that gets fractured when Tayshia Adams has to come in, Dale Moss blows it up, all that. How did you feel about all of those seasons? And I'll just say also, like, the whole segment that we're doing is called State of the Game. And we just kind of talk about where we think the game is at. And I think those last two seasons were integral into getting us where we are now. So you didn't like Katie Thurston. What about the seasons that surrounded it? Bachelorette 16.
Well, who was your favorite Bachelorette? I'm curious.
Oh, that's such a good question. My first favorite was Allie when she got engaged to Roberto.
Allie Fedotowsky.
Yeah, Allie Fedotowsky. I loved Hannah B. She really surprised me. I she was my favorite. And my favorite Bachelor, Perfect Ben Higgins.
Perfect Ben.
Perfect Ben.
But I mean, he did break two hearts.
Is that how they advertised that season?
That's how they advertised it. He did. He was the first to say, I love you to three different girls or two different girls. Yeah.
Well, he was the first to say it to two finalists in the contemporary era. Yeah. But it has happened before.
Oh, okay. It had. Who was that?
Was it Stork?
Stork?
Travis Stork.
Okay. There were like the early seasons.
It's hard to find them.
I don't remember so well. And it's very impressive that, that's impressive.
No one can find them. So there's only a select few, the long-term pit dwellers that can find, that have that in their memory, season 8. It's
very impressive. But okay, so I think Bachelor has been going downhill for a while. Not that I don't watch. I watch. But I was a fan of Tayshia once Claire left. And that's about it.
Oh, wow. You didn't like Michelle Young?
Oh, I liked Michelle. I did. I forgot about Michelle.
You didn't like Gabby? You didn't like Rachel Recchia? You didn't like Clayton Eckert?
I didn't like the Gabby Rachel season.
No, I mean, almost no one did. Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's not not at all.
That season was, I mean,
I don't think a lot of people came away from that season being like, what a great season.
Yeah.
And I think most of these seasons that we're talking about were that way. All the bubble seasons really were disasters in one way or another. And I think through no fault of the leads or any of the players, it really is the producers like strangling the life out of the show at this point.
Yeah. You know, the last season where people liked The Bachelor, I would say, was really season 21.
Which one was that?
Nick Vial. Oh.
I'm sorry. Oh, I'm just making a joke.
That's not a joke.
But I think since when was it was when they put Matt James on as Bachelor and he had never even seen the franchise. It was so obvious.
Well, he was cast as a player in Claire Crowley's season in Bachelorette 16. And then obviously he was trained by Hannah Brown and Tyler Cameron to do what he did. But yeah, that was a disastrous season, obviously. But are you watching? You're watching the current season, right? 27?
Absolutely.
And so what do you think of it so far? We've had three episodes. We've seen what we've seen.
Yeah.
How are you feeling about where we are now?
I'm so glad you asked. I think I was annoyed that they picked Zach at first. I was like, here we go. Another white basic guy. But, and no fault to Zach. I think he's a very nice guy. It is not his fault that he got chosen. I don't think, it was on him. But I've been pleasantly surprised by this season. And I think it's because of the girls. I really like how sweet they are. They're a good bunch of girls. And Zach's like kind of funny how awkward and goofy and not cool he is. I don't know. I kind of like him now.
Let me ask you this. Ooh. Do you believe that this is real, this show?
In what way?
Do you think that the players on this show are actually there to fall in love, et cetera, et cetera?
I think that most of them go on the show thinking this is good for my career or for my Instagram and maybe I'll find love, but that's not what they're going into thinking.
Yes.
They're always all surprised. They're always like, oh, I didn't actually think this would work.
Of course. Yeah. I think pretty much the same thing. I mean, I don't know if you're aware. We wrote a book called How to Win the Bachelor.
I'm aware.
And it's in this season.
We got a reader.
Did you know that information?
Wait, I heard you talking about like Greer had read the book.
Oh, we don't know who actually read it, but we have pretty much confirmed information that multiple players were caught by producers reading the book during the course of the season.
I didn't know that.
And we don't know if it's going to be shown. We doubt that it will be, but it obviously contradicts the idea that any of these players are for the right reasons. I know.
Oh my gosh. If they're, you're right. Then they're there to win.
Seemingly.
The game.
Which I would argue is the right reason. But.
Yeah, me too. I mean, you know, that's kind of what we always say is that even if you're in it for the right reasons, you want to get engaged or whatever, you still have to make it through this minefield of producer traps. You still have to win that game.
But then what do you guys think about all these girls sending themselves home so early?
Bad play. Very bad play.
Bad play.
Because that seems like they are there for love.
Yeah, I mean, or does it seem like they just have had enough producer manipulation and they're like, I got to get the fuck out of here before I lose my mind. That's what it feels like to me.
Yeah, this is too stressful. Chase, I got to ask you a question. You got a, you know, a girl next door vibe about you, a charisma, one might say. Would you ever enter this game?
You know what? I'm 31 and I think I'm too old.
What?
I think I'm aging out. I absolutely would have. But I don't want to be one of the girls, the young girls are like, and grandma over there. I don't know. I'm right on the cusp. I could still do it. Maybe the next 2 years. There's hope.
Yeah. You're on the cusp. You got like two more playing. I mean, look, Claire Crawley, technically you got.
I've got 10 years. Yeah. 9 years.
Yeah.
Okay. Listen, you've convinced me. I will if they approach me, but I at one point was really trying hard to be a PA on The Bachelor. I messaged like the producers of The Bachelor. I got any contact I had, like PAs that had been on the show. I sent in videos, like not in a video application to be a Bachelor contestant. I sent in a video for me to be a PA.
To be a PA.
I so badly wanted to just be around the action.
And you couldn't get it?
Didn't get it.
Where are these videos now?
I'm sure I can dig them up.
And also, I do kind of think that might be a good story of like, you're like a super fan, tried to be a PA for years. Had a PA origin story, audition tape.
Everyone would tell me, like, no, you don't want to be a PA on The Bachelor. It's the worst. It's hardest show to be a PA on. And I was like, you don't understand. I just want to be behind the scenes and know what it's like. Mm-hmm. That was about 5 years ago, though. That's when, like, Bachelor was probably peaking.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Probably easier to PA on now.
Yeah, you're right. I could probably easily do it now.
God, that was a good era. You know, Pace Case, I never told you this. I made an audition tape for The Real World once in my final year of eligibility, age 24. This was some time ago, of course, but I don't know where that tape is either.
What did you put in it?
What's that?
Why are you confessing this 3 years into our podcast? Where is the video? What did you do in it?
I just remembered it. Well, this was back before there was really the internet. So the video was put in a box and mailed to whoever was producing it, Buna Murray, I guess, Productions. They have it now in their archives, I'm sure.
What did you do in it?
What did I do? I walked around. I was in LA. I walked around a couple of places. At the time, I was an assistant at a production company. And I was just like, this is what I do. My parents are fucking crazy and whatever. And let me on the show. And it didn't work out. I'm just saying, I've made the tapes.
You've been there.
Yeah, I've been there. We've all been there.
We all wanted
that reality TV fame.
Hey, you never know. After this podcast, you both might get calls for new jobs.
Oh, well, thank you. What do you think, if I may ask, Chase, of Christina Mandrell?
Mm. Okay. I loved her on her one-on-one. I absolutely loved her. Mm-hmm. I loved how she handled the conflict with Bree, that first conflict where she got approached and instead of being like, you don't know what you're talking about, she was very apologetic and was like, that's not what I intended. I'm so sorry. I loved how she handled it. But this past episode, the producers did a great job of changing my opinion about her. And I saw what all the other girls saw. And now I'm confused. I don't know what to believe. I still like her. I like her TikToks. I like her Instagrams. Mm-hmm. And she's been posting stuff like, hey guys, let's be positive. I'm getting a lot of hate. Like, I just like how she's handling it. I think I like her.
Well, I mean, she's also getting a huge Instagram gain even after a massive villain at it, which is something that we don't really see anymore.
Oh,
so
really?
I'm not sure if the tables are being turned a little bit, if we're rounding the bend on this era where people were getting massive amounts of death threats. She still is, obviously, but have you ever sent a death threat, Chase, to anyone in the Bachelor franchise?
Oh my God, never. I would never. Absolutely not. And I think it's appalling that people would.
She's like, yeah, I followed up all of my PA audition tapes with a death threat if they didn't respond.
No, I think that part of Bachelor Nation is a very dark, dark side of our community. I've never sent a death threat. I have a lot of empathy. I feel like...
Just like Chris Harrison. That's what he says on his podcast. In almost every episode, he reminds us how empathetic he is.
He did call himself a bit of an empath.
Yeah. He did it in this last episode with Caitlin Bristow, too.
Still haven't listened to his most dramatic podcast.
You're okay. You don't really need to. No one does.
People have been telling me that it's not that dramatic. I'm waiting for the tea to really be spilled. But no, I think that Christina has more followers than Zach at the moment.
That is true. She's so far the first player to crack 100K on Instagram anyway.
Do you know if she had a lot to begin with, though? I don't know that.
She was the second highest coming in to at Victoria.
Yeah, her starting Instagram was 40.5K.
Oh, wow. I mean, she is a Mandrell.
Indeed. And her starting TikTok was 85.7K. So she did come in with a little bit of a social media following already, but
she had a following.
Yeah, now she's doing much bigger numbers. And I think, I hope that we are ending the era of villains being punished, because those are, in my opinion, the best characters in the show.
They are. I was watching the alley date where they were skydiving and all was great, but I was bored. And I was like, I can't wait to get to the part where she's crying on the stairs. Like, that's actually what was keeping me watching.
Yes, yeah. I completely agree.
Yeah.
The stair crying, iconic. If you ever go on the show, you have to cry on those stairs.
Oh God, I'll do it for you, but I don't think I want to.
Yeah.
I don't know, Chase. I feel like I got a good feeling about you. You got the raw talent. Yes, you're on the age cusp, but
I hope that, I was a theater major, and hopefully I can use those crying on cue skills to create a scene.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, being able to produce tears is a fantastic play, for sure. Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
You watch The Bachelor. Do you watch any other reality TV?
I do.
What do you got?
What are you into?
Okay. Oh, well, listen, I just watched MILF Manor for the first time. I don't know if you've seen that one.
No, not yet.
It's the one where the moms and the sons are dating each other.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's on TLC, the learning channel.
We've talked about this, Chad.
The moms are dating the sons of the other moms?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. What a genius idea. Genius.
And literally, there's like a 20-year-old boy there hitting on 50-year-olds. It's so creepy, but it's really good TV. So that one, I've really gotten into Love Island. I liked F-Boy Island. The Kardashians. There's certain shows that though, like, I know I'd be really into, and so I don't start watching it because I have to have some free time where I'm not watching reality. So I know I would love every reality show, but I limit it to those right now.
So, and where does The Bachelor rank for you among them?
Just Love Island and MILF Manor and Love Island, which is on 5 days a week.
Yeah, just these three. Actually, I'm sure there's more. But it's always Bachelor number one. And it's really because Bachelor does such a good job of creating a space to get together with your friends. And we just have Monday night dinner and watch The Bachelor.
You have a watching group?
I have about three or four watching groups. And so every Monday, there's at least one watching group I'm part of. Is that a lot?
No, it's great. I wish I could go to watching groups, but I must watch the show in complete silence so that I can take my 22 pages of notes and fill in my spreadsheets. And
I can't write 500 pages of notes with people talking.
I can no longer be around humans when I watch, when I ingest.
I'm actually trying to watch and everyone's talking and I'm like, this is serious. But that's why I think it's number one, because it's always been a lovely excuse to get together with friends that I wouldn't see that often otherwise.
When did you start watching it?
I agree.
At what age? What season?
I watched like the first and second season when I was like 9 and 10, really young.
Damn.
And then I took a big break and then I got back to watching it in college. I was in a sorority. We'd watch it together every Monday night.
Oh my God.
I watched in my sorority too.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I don't think they're watching in sororities anymore. It definitely, I don't think the Gen Zs
really
are that into it as millennials were.
Interesting.
You don't think, you think Gen Zs are?
I don't know. It's hard to say because, you know, we track the ratings and stuff of the show and the ratings are going down every season, but like, so are the ratings of all network television. Network television is dying. And so I think it's not a very good metric in terms of trying to figure out how many people are actually watching this, because that doesn't take into account Hulu. It doesn't take into account YouTube TV.
Gen Z don't have Nielsen boxes.
Can I tell you my theory, though? The reason there's not a lot of following going on is because millennials, we were the ones following everyone, and millennials are getting older, not caring as much, but the Gen Z isn't picking up the weight of that. And then they're also promoting a lot about Senior Bachelor, and I think it's because a lot of the viewers are boomers.
Oh, of course, yeah. Well, on network TV, for sure. And that's how Warner Brothers is going to make their money, by making a show for people who are literally over 65 years old or whatever. Because that's the only people like fucking clicking the remote control to turn your TV on still.
You're right.
But I mean, there's also, I don't know if you guys are familiar with the Nothing Forever perpetual Seinfeld episode that was just launched on Twitch by an AI 2 weeks ago.
You told me about this. It became anti-trans or something.
Yeah, it did some transphobic jokes, so it got banned for 2 weeks, but they're going to retweak the AI and it will be back up 2 weeks from now. It basically is an AI that is writing and producing a visual episode of Seinfeld using kind of like little rudimentary graphics forever. It never stops. And I think that kind of stuff is where maybe not Gen Z, but like Gen Alpha will definitely be living in that kind of media. So eventually, I do think there's going to be an AI that just makes a perpetual episode of The Bachelor.
Is Gen Alpha the like 5-year-olds right now?
Yeah.
Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah. They're going to come back to our beloved game.
Yeah. They're going to love
through their brain, through their contact lenses.
But all of this said, where do you feel like the game is right now? How are you feeling about it? You said you've watched it since you were 9 or 10. Will you continue to watch it until it goes away? If it ever does, will you watch it forever?
I think every season I say I'm not going to watch and then I end up watching. So I probably will. I just think they had a huge opportunity to rebrand. And I think instead of having Jesse be this like the same old host, they had a really big opportunity to like kind of make fun of itself and be more on board with the Bachelor Nation world. And I don't know, I hate that they kind of just like it takes itself so seriously, and and it's a different we're in 2023. Like, it needed a little bit of an upgrade and a different host and vibe and energy. So I've been really disappointed, and I don't know. I might not.
Dang. You hear that, Katie? You hear that, DLP? Shots fired. Two rivalries started.
I hate to say it, but I need to talk to the producers. They're making some bad decisions.
Listen, we've been saying on our show literally for years at this point, hire us. We will save this fucking franchise. So far, no calls.
It's really silly.
I like my job. Don't hire me. Hire Clues. He'll still do this one, I know. He just told me he's going to start like his fourth podcast.
It doesn't matter. There is no limit to the amount of jobs that I can do.
Chase, what is your special about People Pleaser?
It's about me being a people pleaser. Wouldn't you know it? A lot of my comedy, I think, stems from situations that I've gotten in my life, and it's making fun of that. You know, just I'm a people pleaser, and I'm making jokes about it.
What is the worst people pleasing that you've done?
I went on a date with a guy. He took me to a strip club and he made out with a stripper. And I was sitting by myself just watching the show, and the strippers knew he was off making out with a stripper, and they were apologizing to me as they were like doing their dance. And they're like, "I'm so sorry." and I didn't leave. I stayed. I think if I wasn't a people pleaser, I'd have been like, "F this, I'm getting out of here." So a lot of decisions I've made in my life.
Did you spend a lot of money that night?
Oh, you know what? I probably did. I usually.
That's what I feel like. I've gone to a strip club a couple times, and I'm just like, okay, just have all my money. You're amazing.
Just take it. I spend a lot of money on dates because I usually don't like the guy, and I feel like if I pay for the drinks, then I don't owe him anything. So I'm usually the one just like, you want drinks? You want I pay, and that's again not good. That's a people pleasing thing. I stay a long time on dates when I.
You're like, I paid for that dance when he left the room.
So lots of people pleasing, but I'm getting better. I'm very aware of my people pleasing tendencies now. Oh, one time I threw away dog poop in a trash can, and a woman saw me do it and was like, "Thanks for throwing that in my trash can." It was like those ones outside. And I went over to the trash can and I dug in and got out the poop.
Oh my God.
Because I thought she was mad at me. And that's another people pleasing. Maybe that's worse.
Yeah. I think that one's worse.
Is that really?
I don't know.
People don't believe my stories, but they're they're actually true.
It's not your fault though. Like, I am also a people pleaser, and I learned it's an instinct, the fawn. It's like fight, flee, or fawn.
Yes.
And if you don't want to fight or flee, we just try to make them like us so they won't kill us.
I've learned that in therapy. I am in therapy and I am getting better at all of this.
Great.
Don't worry. Don't worry about me.
I feel like I'm the opposite of whatever a people pleaser is. I'm a people angerer.
An edgelord.
Wow. See? That sounds so lovely.
Yeah. It's why we're a fun dynamic duo. Yeah.
Oh my God.
We're the opposite.
You just like, if you're not happy about something, you just like, I'm out.
I think I'm more like oblivious to trying to make people feel comfortable in any situation. I'm just looking for data. What information can I take from whatever is happening so I can plug it in my spreadsheets and make some sense of it? That's basically how I operate day to day.
Wow. I need some of that.
Well, we can't thank you enough for joining us. Before we go, what do you believe the future of reality dating formats is?
I think the future is more like Love Island.
Yeah.
With not really a host, getting text updates, that kind of seems to be the thing. Mm-hmm. And the host being in on the joke and knowing that this is a little ridiculous and funny. And I think that's what people are leaning towards more.
Interesting. So getting rid of the For the Right Reasons completely.
Yeah. Kind of. We know that it's kind of a joke.
Yeah. All right. Fair enough.
What do you think?
Who, me?
Yeah.
Who, me? AI. Don't get me going down this road.
Okay.
None of us are going to have a job in probably 15 years because AIs will make all entertainment.
Well, I tried AI writing stand-up jokes and I said them on stage. Bombed.
They didn't do well.
That's where it is right now, though. But AI right now is like in its infancy. It's like the wheel. Eventually, there's going to be a Ferrari.
Okay. Well, I would love it to write my stand-up jokes in the future.
It will.
It will.
And it'll do your performances if you want.
Clues guarantees it.
Imagine this. There is a perpetual Chase O'Donnell stand-up act on your Instagram just streaming. And people can come in and give you a couple of tips or whatever, like on Twitch if they like it or not.
And I don't have to do anything?
Literally nothing.
Fine, I'll take it.
I agree. That is my sentiment as
and
well.
And guess what? Just full circle. Then I'm thrilled for Katie. She's getting into it at the right time. And there's a bright future for her too. Yes. I really don't want to be Katie's enemy. I really want to make sure she knows we're cool.
We'll make sure. But thank you, Chase, for joining us and talking about Bachelor. And everybody, please go check out Chase's new special and album, People Pleaser. It's available everywhere, right?
Yeah, it's everywhere. It's on YouTube, and then the album's on Spotify, Apple Music, wherever you listen. People Pleaser.
What's your handle?
Oh, my Instagram is Chase_O'Donnell, and my TikTok is different, Chase_Elaine. That's it.
All right. Fantastic. Well, thanks again, Chase, for joining us.
Thanks, Chase.
Thank you guys so much. This was so fun.
Thanks again to Chase O'Donnell for joining us for that State of the Game. Go check out her special, People Pleaser, anywhere you get your comedy. And now it's time for us to discuss...
This Week in...
Gains.
We start out This Week in Gains with the ratings for our beloved game. The ratings for this week's big game held the exact same numbers as it had last week, with a 0.59 in the demo and 2.9 million total viewers. This put our beloved game in a dead tie in the 18 to 45 year old demographic with America's Got Talent, All Stars on NBC, and The Neighborhood on CBS. All three of these shows beat Fox, who was bringing up the rear across the major broadcast networks, with Fantasy Island scraping out a 0.2 in the demo. 0.2 for a broadcast network, one of the four big ones.
Look.
That's rough.
One of the co-creators of Fantasy Island hosts one of my favorite podcasts, so I wish them all the best.
I wish everybody the best on the entire planet, but I do think this is an indication that network TV is, as we always say, dying.
Tell me the streaming numbers, and then I'll make my my slow judgment.
I mean, if only I could. They don't release them.
Yeah.
All these streamers hold their information tight.
Yeah.
They keep their own metrics.
Well, speaking of metrics, Zach Shallcross, our current crown, gained 6.1K on Instagram this week, bringing him to a total of 89.6K. Not quite breaking the 100K mark yet. And he gained 23 followers on TikTok, bringing him to 633 in total on that platform. And now for the top five Instagram gains this week for the rookies. They did a little bit better than Zach Shallcross in some cases. Two of them did. Number one, package deal player Christina Mandrell gained 29.9K for her swan song Exit Bump for a total of 113K.
Before we move on to the next one, let's just quickly have a little discussion here about this. Mandrell was a villain. Mandrell got the highest Instagram gain of the week during Mandrell's biggest villain edit. Does this mean we're through the looking glass? Are we done with the time when villains got no gains?
God, I hope so. I am hoping that that is the case. You know, we'll get to Parasocial Plays. She's obviously getting those death threats, but she's still getting the gains, which kind of makes up for the death threats in some way.
Death threats are just part of it.
You hope that if you're getting death threats, you're at least getting gains.
You're getting death threats now, I believe, no matter what you do, whether you're a villain or not, you're going to get death threats if you come on The Bachelor.
Floater, sorry.
That is part of it. Yes. This Sleucian protocol now includes death threats, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. But we also are seeing here Mandrell is the first player to get over 100K. Do it while in the course of the show. Obviously, Victoria Jameson came in with over 100K Instagram. So again, this is, I think, I'm not going to say it's proof because this has happened once and Mandrell is a very special player. Mm-hmm. But this is not what we're used to from a villain. No. Usually a villain who flames out in episode 3 comes nowhere near 100K and certainly doesn't have the biggest bump of the week.
What did, like a Cassidy Timbrooks maybe? What did she end up getting?
Cassidy Timbrooks right now is at 10.9K followers.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. That's a big change.
Right. Now, Mandrell did come in with a higher number to begin with. She came in with 50K, I believe, Instagram.
Higher number, came in with all of the support of the third audience, it would have appeared. She got that early meeting at the family date. Mm-hmm. She got that intro package with her daughter, etc. She got that incredible limo exit.
And she also had the full support of the fifth audience.
Aliens?
We, of course, know that there is the first audience is the lead. The second audience is the other players. The third audience is the producers. The fourth audience is us watching. Uh-huh. The fifth audience is the Mandrell family.
What?
Yeah, full support. Let's move on. The second place in Gaines.
You okay? You glitching?
This week, we're all glitching. The second place in Gaines this week belongs to Katie Bigger. She gained 6.2K for her 4TR one-on-one double MVP status for a total of 13.1K.
I feel like this was to be expected. She had the best one-on-one date that we saw. We don't even see Allie in this top five. In third place, we have turtle-turned-floater Gabriella L. Nikki gaining 2K for a total of 12.4K. I don't know how any of these last three are getting these gains.
Well, in fourth place, we have the only top player from the season, Bailey Brown, gaining 1.7K for a total of 9.K. She did Swan Song this week, so maybe that had something to do with it.
Oh. And running out the top five is Hot Tub player Ariel Frankel, gained 1.5K for a total of 11.2K.
She had some chemistry play in the tub. Maybe that was it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess these aren't huge numbers anyway, so.
No, these gains are paltry. We are starting to see that too, and it's like, this has been, I think, getting progressively worse over the past couple of years. And I don't know what that exactly is either. Is it the millennial drop-off?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
That's what Chase thought.
It's interesting to watch this, though.
Yeah. We'll get into it. I mean, the players do have larger TikTok followings than they have on Instagram. So we'll see. Top five total Instagram chart. As of today, February 9th, 2023, at Victoria Jameson still maintains a lead with 124K, although someone is close behind.
In second place is Mandrell, 112K. Will Mandrell catch Jameson?
Yes.
You think she'll get another 12K? You don't think she's capped?
Absolutely.
When? Women Tell All?
Women Tell All, baby. It'll be the Mandrell show. That's my prediction. You don't let Mandrell go on purpose. And then if she accidentally leaves, you make her the star of the Women Tell All. That's what I would do if I were a producer. But obviously, I'm just a member of the fourth audience.
If Mandrell leaves, get Mandrell back at all costs. Mandrell must be seen at Women Tell All to promote Mandrell's appearance on Sand. I believe Mandrell will be first Sand round, and she will be the villain. And maybe we can get back to our Mandrellian era.
Or she'll pivot. Or she'll pull a Shanae and she'll pivot on Sand. I could see her doing that. Look, if they're not going to give me her as crown, make her first Sand, give her that villain pivot, and we'll see that she's actually 4TRR, and we just want a little... You want a little father or mother for that little baby.
Have you ever experienced a dry, itchy scalp or ever wondered why your color isn't lasting as long as your hairdresser promised? Well, unfiltered mineral-filled water could be the reason why. Did you know hard water is a leading cause of damaged hair and dry, irritated skin? And that about 85% of the United States uses hard water filled with dissolved minerals and added chlorine. That's where Canopy's new filtered shower head comes in.
Known for their beauty hacks and reimagined humidifier, Canopy is dermatologist recommended. This unique three-stage filtration system greatly reduces contaminants and odors in your shower water. Best of all, the Canopy filtered showerhead is hassle-free, installation's a breeze, and its unique quick-release filter replacement feature allows for seamless filter replacement. Go to canopy.co to save $25 on your Canopy filtered showerhead purchase today. With Canopy's hassle-free filter subscription. Even better, Gore listeners can use our code ROSES at checkout to save an additional 10% off your Canopy purchase. Hurry, your hair and skin will thank you. Clues. Underwear drawers, they're not organized. They're like the Wild West, the final frontier of wardrobes. And there's no rhyme or reason to them. You got ones that are super old, different brands, etc. You don't know what to expect. But now I have felt the buttery soft comfort of MeUndies. And now I want to replace the whole drawer with MeUndies because those are my now go-to. I'm currently wearing their long sleeve shirt and my... which is not what this ad is about, but I am also wearing the super soft, sustainable modal fabric thong with no roll back, waistband. You want that. You don't want it to be rolling. You don't want it to be showing. And I'm hooked. I don't want to wear anything else. It's all got to go now.
Well, this ad actually is kind of about that, Pace Case. Everybody knows MeUndies makes great underwear. It's in the name, MeUndies. But it's not just about underwear. You can explore the lounge collection featuring comfy joggers, hoodies, onesies, and a whole bunch more. And their Move Me activewear collection is the softest activewear on the market. There's no doubt about it. Right now, you can get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/roses. That's MeUndies.com/roses for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in. Support for today's episode comes from OneSkin. If you have sensitive skin, you're going to want to hear about OneSkin's scientifically proven topical supplements. This is face, eye, body, shield, and it can all be used with any of their other products, which are free from over 1,500 chemicals and preservatives that can make skin red, irritated, or itchy. Their products are safe for sensitive skin. It's just one of the reasons they've earned the Skin Safe seal of approval.
You got to keep that skin glowing if you want to be keeping up the level of face play that I've got going on. And OneSkin was founded by an all-woman team of scientists. Their products are backed by extensive lab and clinical data to validate their efficacy and safety on all skin types. Their topical supplements are the easiest way to keep your skin healthy and hydrated without the harsh ingredients or irritation found in other skincare products often. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code ROSES at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code ROSES. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support Gore and tell them that we sent you.
Could be.
Package deal. Anyway, third place is Jessica Garrod at 25.2K.
Fourth place, Anastasia Karamidas, 23.6K.
And running out that top five, Sonia Sharma, 16.3K. Now for the top five TikTok chart. Number one has been the same, might be the same all season, at Victoria Jamison, 970.5K. Completely underutilized. Put her in Women Tell All, too.
She better be there. And maybe on sand. I'm just so curious to see what happens to a player like that as they go through the game. We really didn't get to see that yet. You know, they cast her and then they fucking cut her out of everything and they dismissed her early. So we didn't really get to see what the effect of this kind of a social media presence would have on the show.
It makes me worried they're only casting influencers to demonize them as influencers.
Yes. And then when they can't, they eliminate them.
Yeah.
That's what it seems like to me as well. Mm-hmm. Speaking of, in second place on that TikTok chart, you got Mandrill, 129.4K.
Third place, Madison Johnson, night one player, 102.3K.
Fourth place, Rebecca Serrano, 52.5K.
Another night one player. And running out the top five is Jessica Girard, 33.5K.
Interesting numbers here early in the season. We will see if Mandrell can keep her upward momentum now that she is no longer in document. And we will see if anybody can dethrone the zero screen time queen of social media from this season, Victoria Jamison. Unreal that they didn't use her more.
Yeah. I mean, I think Jamison and Mandrell are doing the best parasocial plays that we're seeing from the rookies. They're consistently putting out top tier content.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're showing you why they have these numbers.
Yeah,
I think there are a lot of people who come into our beloved game having little to no actual experience in the influencer sphere, in the parasocial sphere, and their numbers just fucking explode, and they're like, oh shit, what do I do now? And it's a bunch of spawn con and whatever. But you're seeing in Mandrell and Jamison, two players who have been doing this for a minute, who understand how to fucking capitalize on it and how to make good content. So, I don't know. We'll see what winds up happening, but let's move on now to all those tids that are fit to print.
This is Bachelor Nation News.
First up, Ambassador Nation News. Victoria Fuller is joining us in the ever-expanding Bachelor Nation podcast universe. The season 24 Chase Rice one-on-one survivor dropped a trailer for her new podcast project this week, as well as launching the official Instagram. The title of the podcast is Uncensored Saints, and the first episode is set to release on Valentine's Day, February 14th, with what the trailer promises will be a very special guest. Congrats to Fuller on this new endeavor, and welcome to the club. Uncensored Saints. Uncensored Saints.
Uncensored Saints, Uncensored Saints, Uncensored Saints,
Uncensored Saints, Uncensored Saints, Uncensored Saints, Uncensored Saints, Uncensored Saints, Uncensored Saints, Uncensored Saints.
I like that both that two of the three bad bitch energy group date co-hosts are launching podcasts this season after not being in the game for a minute.
Tajwan, where you at?
Tajwan. Tajwan can't pee, Tajwan can't poo, Tajwan can't podcast, I guess. What's going on?
Tajwan can podcast. She should do a podcast called Party Crasher.
I think she calls it Doc Walk.
Doc Walk. What's that?
I put a question about this in.
Doc Guac.
Do you remember when she passed out from the heat and she ordered a doctor and then had the doctor bring her guacamole?
Yeah. Doc Guac. Yeah. I do remember that. But no, sincerely, congratulations to Victoria Fuller. Very curious to see what this podcast is going to be all about, who that first guest will be, what the format of the show is, et cetera, et cetera.
You know what pod I look forward to?
Off Contract.
Fuller Joy.
Oh, that is an interesting one. Although we've already kind of had it on the Vial Files.
I want Victoria in charge.
All right.
No Vial. I want to see what... I think it'll be different.
Perhaps.
Different vibe. Speaking of... podcast. The original Dark Lord is in the news this week.
That's the ODL.
I'm sorry, you wanted me to say that. I thought I was just supposed to translate. The ODL is in the news this week. The original Dark Lord, Chris Harrison, is proving that he knows how to sustain relevance after his recently launched podcast, TMDPE, the most dramatic podcast ever, hit number one across all categories in the iTunes charts last month.
In his most recent episode, DLH invited Caitlin Bristow into a discussion about some comments she made last week on the Not Skinny But Not Fat podcast regarding his apparent inability to answer her text messages, a common form of ghosting.
Sounds like the local news.
I know. I was trying to do that. I was trying to do that.
Glad old it man worked. Clues. Grandpa clues. Harrison took the opportunity to clear the air with Bristow and assure her that his lack of communication while he was dealing with the racism scandal that cost him his hosting job had nothing to do with her.
He also let her know what he thought about the choice to match Tayshia Adams and Bristow together as co-hosts to replace him, saying, "You were doomed to fail. You were set up to fail. That was never going to succeed. That show, and again, I know it intimately more than anybody, there's not room for two people." That's exactly how he said it.
Eviscerating the ultimate girl gang.
That's exactly how he said it.
That's how he said it? That's chilling. Once again, the ODL seems to know exactly how to use his platform to capitalize on attention from the nation and still manage to fire a shot at not only the show, but Bristow herself.
Now, I did a Clues Corner about this entire episode. I watched it all, listened to it all, whatever, reacted to it.
If you're wondering if Clues has done a corner about something, he's done it.
Probably. Doing a lot of corners. Staying in my own corner a lot. Stay in your lane, stay in your lane, stay in your corner. I will tell you this. He didn't say it as I reread it. It wasn't as malicious as that. But there is this kind of undertone that's like, yeah, of course you were going to fail.
A woman.
He never says that. He's positioning it more to the thing that we actually talked a lot about on during that season, that two hosts don't work. And I think he's right in that. Now, the way he chose to say it and kind of rub it in her face was absurd, in my opinion. It's like, what is she supposed to fucking do in that situation, dude? Tell the producers, fuck you. I'm not doing it unless it's me by myself. She made the best of it.
No, it's Monday morning quarterbacking. Heard of it?
Yes. Anyway, If you want to see my entire reaction to it again, Clues Corner on our Patreon.
It's interesting. I never thought we were going to have DLH in the Sauce Wars.
But he is.
Fighting on the side of the sauce.
He fucking is.
I mean, the tea.
Let me just tell you also about these damn Sauce Wars that we're in right now. We're at the fucking height of it. There is so much shit flying around right now. You got Mandrell contradicting Edit. We didn't even really fucking talk about that.
We shall get to it.
Oh, it's in Parasocial? My apologies. You got that. You got DLH coming out and doing this shit. You got Bristow going on Not Skinny and Not Fat and saying a producer fucking swiped her lips after she made out with Nick Vial to taste his saliva.
Did we only talk about that in Digging Deeper?
Yeah, we only talked about it in Digging Deeper. But that is some fucking revelatory shit. You just have a lot of stuff going on. And perhaps the biggest thing in the Sauce Wars is that our book is in this show and multiple high-level players were reading it, potentially using the strategies to get to the end of this season to win the game, and it is being fucking disappeared. You want to talk about Sauce Wars?
No, we don't know that. We don't know that yet.
We don't know that yet, but so far, it seems like it's getting disappeared, and I believe that it will for the entirety of the season.
I don't know. There's a you got me hopeful about that the promo clip that says about social media or whatever. That got me hopeful.
Yeah, but I mean, I think they can cut it so that it's like, they're here for the wrong reasons. All they care about is Instagram, and then they cut it off right when they're like, and they were reading a book called How to Win the Bachelor. Like, I don't think they're going to put the title of our book in the show.
Oh my God. What if we see a line and we hear something else, but we see on their lips they're saying, and she was reading How to Win the Bachelor, the book.
I mean, sure.
We got to start lip reading every line that's said off face.
Could happen. But anyways, let's move on to our next bit of news. Speaking of using Caitlin Bristow to remain relevant in the nation, the Great One is in the news this week for his unsolicited reaction to something Bristow revealed in the same interview on the Not Skinny But Not Fat podcast. Bristow claimed that producers sexualized Vial when he was a player in her Bachelorette season 13 and left her feeling brainwashed.
Vial platformed an uncharacteristic fast judgment of Bristow's statements on his podcast, The Vial Files, wondering out loud, was she suggesting because someone asked her, I guess, what my breath smells like or how I tasted, that from that moment forward, she was incapable of decision making? How dare your great one say this about my great one?
Well, I mean, your great one made the claim about my great one that he was sexualized on her season and that a producer literally scraped his saliva from her lips so that they could taste it, so they could dine on the essence of Vial.
You don't think that this is questioning that? It's kind of belittling it. Oh, they just want to know what my breath smells like.
Yeah, that makes sense, right?
That's traumatizing.
Of course. It's insane.
That's what I'm saying. This feels like it's like lowering it.
Yeah, that's exactly what he's doing. He's trying to dismiss her story. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. How dare he?
And he's trying to make the story about him. Like, she's blowing things out of proportion.
Well, obviously he's going to do that. That's content, baby.
Exactly. The Great One also recently made the claim that he was the last bachelor that anyone liked, including the first Black Bachelor in franchise history, Matt James. A bold statement from the GOAT that will no doubt be analyzed and discussed across the nation and certainly in our next episode of Digging Deeper, out a week from next Monday. I can't wait to dissect that Vial file. It's going to be insane.
Oh my God, I can't wait. I saw Dark Seekers just giggling in a video reacting to this. It made me laugh.
I agree.
I mean, this is bold. I like it though. I like people throwing out just crazy shit. He probably forgot about Matt James. He probably was like just thinking of Clayton and Zach. And he's like, no, I mean Matt James also. Do you remember there being a backlash against Matt James?
No.
No.
None whatsoever.
Nope. If anything, there was a backlash against the way he was announced as the Bachelor, but...
Yes.
Yeah. Bold. Speaking of things that are bold, up next in Bachelor Nation News, Bachelor Live on Stage is back, baby. Last year's Bachelor Live on Stage host, the only Tropical Royale in the history of the game, Becca Kufrin, posted a short video on TikTok featuring herself and Andrew Spencer walking into what looks like a hotel pool. Spencer is sporting an inflatable llama inner tube, and Kufrin is peeling off inflatable diamond rings like dollar bills. The video is set to Ice-T's gang anthem Colors, and the caption reads, "Soft launch at Bachelor Live on Stage at Talking Stick Resort this April. More info coming this week, hashtag Bachelor Live." Wowee.
Yes. I did not understand this video, but I did understand the caption.
It's very confusing.
I agree.
This description.
Last year, I attended this event with the Dark Seeker here in Los Angeles at the Ace Hotel, where we witnessed James Bonsall take the stage as our city's bachelor. And we will be attending again this year. Hopefully Pace Case will be with us if COVID does not claim her.
I got to figure out how to get COVID before this event. I can't have COVID twice and miss this.
Or don't get it at all. But we encourage anyone and everyone to join us.
Okay, I will just quarantine. Everyone join us and quarantine before Bachelor Live on Stage.
We sincerely want to try to glorify the LA Bachelor Live on Stage event in LA this year. It's a truly strange and wonderful experience. And we hope to see as many people out there as we can, because there is a there's a strange aura in the room. I don't know how else to explain it. There are these pockets of everyone, like little watch parties. You can tell like some friends came and, oh, this is a family and here's a mom and a daughter and whatever. But nobody's really like commingling all that much. And I think it would be a better thing if it was treated more like a convention for The Bachelor than like this weird singular event, in my humble opinion. Mm-hmm. So we hope to see some people out there.
You're saying we need to host a group pregame.
I don't know where that would take place. I'm saying we need to host a group game within the game. As Bachelor Live is going on, we'll be happy to, like, you know, talk to anybody and say hi and all of that.
I'm nervous but excited.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Me too.
And finally, in Bachelor Nation news, Ryan Fox, who you may remember as the night one player from Bachelorette season 18, who had his personal belongings ransacked by Caitlin Bristow and Tayshia Adams, the ultimate girl gang, to reveal folders full of strategies. He is engaged. The night one prepper revealed this new development via Instagram this weekend with a 6-slide main grid post that featured images of his fiance, Alexis Beretta, the sparkler, and a new pup. That's the dream. The caption read, "We are engaged, sparkler, a new fiance and a new, sorry, sparkler emoji, a new fiance and a new puppy on the same day. Not a bad Friday afternoon. Congrats to Mr. Fox. We're hoping he won't be needing his folders anytime soon."
And that rounds out Bachelor Nation news. Now let's move on to talking about all those plays our favorite players are making off the field in that metaverse. This is
the Parasocial play of the week.
The Sauce Wars are alive and well. And who took the latest shot? I'll give ye a hint. It rhymes with Bip Tina Landwell.
I just wanted you to read that.
It's, of course, Christina Mandrell. She took a shot at producers and corrected her edit in a clip she shared on Instagram. She shows that the video in which she ITMs wanting a rose, her caption reads, "Yas, I loved my rose dress from date number one so much. Thrilled to see it featured in the middle of the group date again in tonight's episode." The video has 314,000 views, and her dig even fueled an Us Weekly story. She also called out the fourth audience in another reel in which she asked the nation to treat people online better. The package deal extraordinaire says the horrific troll messages don't get to her, but she knows others get them too, so spread positivity. We love to see this trend of players transforming the online bullying they receive as part of playing this game into great parasocial content.
Speaking of troll messages, former Crown Michelle Young made a hilarious TikTok this week. In it, she starts excited with the caption, "Me thinking I'm ready to get back into the dating scene." Cut to new guys trying to be cute, messaging her, "Will you accept this rose?" And her eye starts twitching. 18.5K likes, 208K views. Congratulations. Good job, Michelle Young.
We've got some true star power in the next couple of plays, proving that while some may consider the nation a breeding ground for D-list influencers, that some of them are this close to and rubbing elbows with the A-list. First, our 13th Bachelorette crown, Rachel Lindsay, thanked former Jorge Moreno Bystander of the Week, Ashton Kutcher, for helping her pick Brian Abasolo on her season of The Bachelorette in a TikTok. In the video, she interviews Kutcher and Reese Witherspoon about their movie, Your Place or Mine, and mentions that Kutcher told her not to pick anyone on the group date he and his wife Mila Kunis were hosting. Lindsay details the very specific dating advice he gave her and earned herself 104K views, 6.5K likes on her own TikTok, and 56.1K likes and 655K views on Extra TV's TikTok.
Loved this. Also love how you say Kutcher.
How are you supposed to say it?
I don't know. I think it's Kutcher.
Kutcher?
Kutcher? The Kutchers?
Ashton Kutcher.
Lindsay brought up such specific details in this. I thought this was incredible. She obviously prepared, and she surprises Reese Witherspoon with these facts. And I'm like, Rachel just like took the scene of the whole interview in this. Anyway, all of these were excellent plays. However, there can be only one winner. Our parasocial play of the week goes to Becca Tilly and her partner, Hayley Kiyoko. They were invited to Taylor Swift's Grammys party, and they posted a joint 4-post Instagram slide, including photos of the pair of them with the Taylor Swift cheersing the camera. She's clutching Kiyoko at the party with the caption, "And by the way, we went out last night." Oh my God. The superstar offering garnered 506.7K likes, 2K comments. As Kiyoko and Tilly earned our parasocial play of the year, we're not surprised to see them outdoing themselves in 2023, and we only hope their stars continue to rise.
Absolutely astounding. Anytime you are this close to the Taylor Swift, you're going to win this award.
Yeah.
Unless you're taking a picture with a squirrel.
Or you're listing your grapes on Facebook.
Yeah. We had a couple of good creature plays this week. Of course, Mandrell discovered a small bird flapping around her hotel bathroom and made a very interesting video about it. But our winner is another parasocial powerhouse from this current season. We're talking about Victoria Jameson and her dog, Hero. It seems that Victoria got the DNA results back for Hero's lineage, and it turns out he's part German Shepherd, part Australian Cattle Dog, and part Great Pyrenees. This amazing genetic revelation garnered 13.2K views, 386 likes, 30 comments. It was very well done. I found myself on the edge of my seat waiting to find out what was Hero's genetic legacy. His lineage.
The way this is presented, you see Hero's face, and then you see the slow, like, family tree present itself. It's very soothing.
And thank you, all the creatures and all the humans who made these fantastic parasocial plays this week. Now it is time for Pace, Case, and I to descend deep into the pit, where we will issue forth our screams. This is...
Screams from the pit!
My scream this week is from the Southwest. Yes, that's right. I'm talking about Lyandike Country. I went there this past weekend, Scottsdale, Arizona, for a familial reunion. And in it, I went to a parade. And there were thousands of horses in this parade. It was, I think, maybe horse-themed. There were all of these floats for all of these local Scottsdale businesses and organizations and, like, thousands of children and the huge event in the city, and also leading up into Super Bowl. They're hosting the Super Bowl, I guess, this weekend. So they had set up a bunch of stuff for that. And I did not realize this about Scottsdale, but it is like Nashville. It is a gigantic bachelorette party town. And so between the parade floats and then all of these pedal bar cart things. Do you know those?
No.
Just saw. So basically it's kind of like a mobile bar, but there's seats all around it.
Oh, yes. And then I know what you're talking about. Yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah.
So Nashville is filled with them. And then there's like every kind. The one I went on in Nashville was in the back of a pickup truck that was just painted to look like a boat. And then there was like a captain. There's a lot of like trucks turned into like carriers of women.
Okay.
And the whole time I couldn't stop thinking about how any of these things could be used as limo exits. I was like, a parade float, like that's like covered in roses or something, would be such a good grandee.
Mm-hmm.
You could do the pedal cart a la Mandrell's party bus, but then you have to pedal with the bachelor, or maybe you get like sidecar style, you get a team of people to pedal you, and then you can just like lay on top of it, which I think would be ideal.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I just could not stop thinking about how all of these things could be used as grandees. And I was just like, no, like I was talking about, my lens to see the world is through The Bachelor. And now I just experience everything through The Bachelor. Mm-hmm. And it's just like bachelor glasses.
Yeah. Well, that sounds good. That sounds delightful.
Yeah. I mean, it's a great creative exercise, but it's also a scream, I think, because it's, you know, my time off.
I understand. There is no time off, however. I'm glad at least you got to have some fun with your scream as these visions of new limo exits are going through your head. My scream is of a darker nature.
Uh-oh.
I have in my life had bad breakups. I've had credits stolen from me on movies I've written. I tore an ACL playing racquetball. I've had my tonsils removed.
Are you listing your PTCs?
I've had an eighth of my face cut off because of cancer. Mm-hmm. But I have never felt the loss and devastation that I felt last Monday night when Mandrell was eliminated. I don't know how to truly describe how terrible I felt in that moment. Maybe it's something akin to what Jared Iaconetti felt when Tom Brady lost against Dallas in the playoffs in his final season, that he would not be going to the Super Bowl this year, that his season would end in ruin. Maybe it's akin to that. I don't know. But I think it's far worse, I'll be honest with you, because in Mandrell, I saw the promise of greatness. I saw the promise of a return to what this game should be, what it used to be, what it could be. And that's Dash. That's gone. Cut out. And not done so in a fashion that leads me to believe she may be able to return. Sure, she can come back to Paradise. We discussed this. She can get whatever she's going to get there. But this is a bachelorette.
Yeah.
Mandrell's a bachelorette. And they fucked it up.
They did not give her a bachelorette edit.
Well, they didn't give her a chance to fucking be the bachelorette. They should have protected her. And this is a thing they don't fucking understand still. And Mandrell, I mean, is one thing. I think Mandrell would have been a great bachelorette. And I think she could have potentially turned this franchise around because she's electric. You want to see her on television. That said, it speaks to a larger issue that we have talked about multiple times. They don't fucking protect their players. Mandrell is getting these Instagram bumps and seemingly is impervious to the death threats and shit because she's Mandrell.
And that's who you want as your bachelorette. Guess what?
Exactly. Yes. You don't want somebody who's crying and saying, get me out of here, blah, 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 which is what they've had now for many years in all leads. But Mandrell really represented, at least in my opinion, or at least maybe I was naive. And when I saw her and when I saw Victoria Jameson, I was like, oh, fuck, they're finally getting it. This is what you have to have now to have any relevance. And what happens in the first three episodes, they cut Victoria Jameson down to zero screen time. And then they fucking kick Mandrell out unceremoniously. They should have been doing everything in their power to keep those two players in this season, giving them deep runs. And so, you know, the devastation that I felt was certainly mostly about not getting to see Mandrell again, but it was also about the show not getting it. I couldn't be more sure of it in that moment. I was just like, well, what's left of this now? Certainly, I think there's going to be some great plays and we're on Book Watch. I have a lot of reasons to still be excited about this season, but that was... it was devastating to me.
I mean, your scream is multiple times devastating now because I feel the exact same way and I agree with you. We lost, the show took things from us and we were so excited. We were like, the Mandrellian era has begun. We named our first episode and then our...
And it was so close. God, it was so close.
Look, I think they should still make her the Bachelorette.
I do too.
She is electric. She is a show.
I think they should still make her the Bachelorette too. But they made this choice. That's not Zach Shawcross saying, okay, I have to get rid of you. The producers, he had to have a conversation with the producers before that can happen. He has to ask them if he can kick her off. They have to say yes. They could have told them no. She needs to be back. We have some shit planned. Like, just try to stay out of the drama, whatever. Don't worry about that. We know who your top three are. We're going to keep you focused on them. But that isn't what happened. The producers had control here. They either failed to use it or purposely let her go or whatever. I don't know. It reminded me a lot of, we're going to go back to Bachelor season 3, The Real Millionaire, Little Andy Firestone.
As everyone calls him, Little Andy.
Little Andy Firestone. That season started with a casting special where they had these five different bachelors that they were like, tune in and find out who's going to be the bachelor for season 3. Mm-hmm. And they showed you these little video intro packages of each of these five different guys, one of whom was Dane Blanton, an Olympic, I believe, gold medal volleyball player who happened to be black. Mm-hmm. They could have had their first black bachelor in season 3. And you just see that and you're like, fuck, how different could all of this have been if they had chosen Dane Blanton? And I feel the exact same way here with Mandrell. How different could whatever we're about to see in the next 3 to 5 years, I like to use my own phrase, how different would it have been if Mandrell would have been your next bachelorette, if they would have kept her in this season? And I'm not saying, obviously, culturally, it's not on the same level as potentially having had a first black bachelor in season 3. But you can see these things, especially as we, you know, get into this.
There's certain pivotal moments. There's certain pivotal moments that spawn eras. You know, Mesny's season was one of those where you're at the mansion, you're picking from previous cast members, etc. No, I'm hoping it's not, but I do think that I didn't give an error on Tuesday's show, but my error was them letting Mandrell go in whatever fashion. Like, I do think that they could have saved her. And yeah, they should have protected her and they didn't. And they just, I kind of predicted this with you when you were like, they'll never get rid of her. When I saw that trailer, I was like, oh no, they're going to. Because sometimes they'll sacrifice for the short-term gain, for the short-term villainization of Christina Mandrell. They will sacrifice what could have been an incredible bachelorette season, which would have targeted their demo, like white Southern women, Christian, Southern, all that stuff. The people that really are the backbone of the fourth audience. and had someone who's like charismatic and like making jokes and knows how to promote things via social media, et cetera. I still have hope. Maybe that's Opto 2023, but I'm like, they still could do it. And then they had that casting card calling for single fathers. I don't know.
I also believe this all could have been avoided if they had just not fucked over Brianna. Because ultimately, that's right. What gets her eliminated. That's what makes it impossible now for Shawcross to believably keep her there. And they orchestrated that. They were the ones who gave her America's Fimprose. They were the ones who then made her turtle. They were the ones who then didn't give her a one-on-one. They were the ones who tried to set her up in a position to make her mad, to make her implode in some way, and it backfired on them because it got rid of Mandrell. It's bad producing top to bottom at every decision. The creation of America's Fimprose, stupid. No one liked it. Nobody believed it was real. And all it did was serve to make a player in Brianna, who probably was a good player, it totally fucked her up. She didn't get to do anything this season except get rid of your most entertaining player.
And we know that they've removed storylines from the show before to protect future crowns. Rachel Lindsay said that they removed a fight between her and Vanessa Grimaldi from Nick Viall's season.
Yes.
Because it would make Rachel look bad. And Vanessa. But I don't know. Maybe they'll hear the cry of a nation. I got so many text messages after this happened. One of my friends texted me, I'm so sad. It is a travesty. First that cat girl, now this. Do they want this season to be a snoozer? I agree.
They do. Unfortunately, that ain't going to happen because we know that, you know, the top however many players all were reading our book on set while they were shooting. And they can try to bury the fuck out of that story.
That would have been an amazing story. It could still be if it's in.
I just don't think it's going to be in the season. It is up to us to make sure this story fucking gets out there because this is the truth of what happened. And you want to talk about Sauce Wars? I mean, this is it. This is the peak of the fucking Sauce Wars right now. A manual about how to win this game was in the show. Multiple players were reading it. Potentially high-level players who actually use it to, you know, win the game, whatever that says.
Mm-hmm. Everyone was talking about it in the house.
Yes, and none of that is going to be in the show. That is Sauce Wars. The lie that they present versus the truth of what happened. So, that was my scream.
Well, damn, that's a sad scream, Clues. Thanks for a scream that'll echo through eternity.
My pleasure. Let's see if we can cheer you up with another scream. As you know, in this segment, we play screams that everyone in the pit sends to us. If you want to send your own scream, you just go to patreon.com/gameofroses. You join us in the bottom of the pit. You get access to our Discord. In that Discord, there is a channel where you can upload a 1 minute or shorter audio clip of your own scream. We play the best ones here. We're about to play you one right now from a user named Tall. So, here we go.
Hello, Pit, Pace Case, and Bachelor Clues. This is Glenn.
And this is Olivia. We honored night one of our beloved game and asked everyone from our watch party to prepare a limo exit. We sent them a Gore article about the 8 types of limo exits. We had the watch party hosts wait on their stoop in a tux to greet the guests. It's a mixed crowd of people ranging from those deep in the pit to first-time viewers.
And it went very well. There were a couple of grandees, including an arrival by bicycle and accompaniment by marching band drums. Vimp was awarded to a sidecar grandee Kringle. And there were a lot of standees we saw, including our friend Kira, who did a combo Kringle standee with 2 Little Caesars hot and ready pizzas, declaring, "I'm hot and ready for love."
We wanted to share this ceremony that we feel elevated our experience of night one and simultaneously lowered us deeper and deeper into the pit.
Praise be, Dark Lord Palmer.
First of all, I love that there is now this trend, I would say, of the Discord screens where it's like 2 people reading at once and like sort of acting out a play.
Yes. The production value of the Discord screams is getting better. It's unbelievable.
The production value of the Discord screams has gotten out of control.
But also, let's just talk about the scream itself. We've had screams about you know, people doing proposals that had some element of The Bachelor woven in. We just had a recent scream about some people trying to conceive a new human life, and it had some elements of not only our beloved game, but literally our podcast woven into it. That one was shocking.
We've had people talk about it on job interviews.
Yeah. But here we have a purer scream. This is a scream about a watch party, about an event that is put together in service of celebration of our beloved game. And here they've taken it to a new level by having people come and do limo exits. And they're giving out prizes, hot and ready with two Little Caesars pizzas. That's a fucking brilliant limo exit. I love this scream. And I hope that your night one went well. I hope you guys have a lot of other festivities planned, Glenn and Olivia, for all your other viewing parties over the course of the season. God, that was fantastic. Does my heart good. See, this is what I'm talking about, by the way.
Yeah, it did make me feel better after your scream.
This is it, though. Like, I wish the producers, I think some producers are listening to this. So if you are, take this to heart, producers. This is the fourth audience. This is what we're doing. We're having viewing parties that celebrate limo exits, that are giving out prizes and shit. We love this shit on a fucking level that is like deep in us. Just fucking make it good. It's not hard. You've done it before, or at least other people have done it before. Watch what they did and just try to emulate them. You don't have to fucking, you know, put your stamp on it because your stamp is bad.
You know what it reminded me of was our original Grove book signing, where we had a couple tots and a couple people asked us to sign can jars of sauce and had like prepared lines and stuff. I love the pomp and circumstance. It's so fun and wonderful. Yeah. Thank you, Glenn and Olivia. This was gorgeous. Gorgeous scream.
Absolutely. Absolutely love this scream. Goes down to the Scream Hall of Fame if there is such a thing. Not really. It's all the screams just bounce around off the walls of the pit forever. You are now immortal.
No, there's some. That one about the song composition one.
We can find that. We'll play it maybe in the next episode. But thank you, Glenn and Olivia. And thank you, everyone who has joined us for This Week in Bachelor Nation. We will be back on Tuesday with a brand new recap of episode 4 of season 27. We're going to see what these remaining players can do now that Mandrell, their number one competition, is out of the game. Very excited to see, actually, because now it also starts getting down to factions, rivalries. You're going to start to see the two-on-ones emerging. Exactly.
Yeah. It's a more even playing field now. Tom Brady's out due to injury.
Yep. And we'll see if Shawcross can pick up his game and make us entertained at all by anything that he does.
Ooh. Okay. I was trying to do an okay boomer, like booming voice, something.
And before we go, as always, what is that dwob at?
It has been 7,627 days without an Asian bachelor. Praise be Dark Lord Palmer.
Please rate this podcast. Please review this podcast. Please get a friend to listen to us and then. Please rate this podcast. Please review this podcast. Please get a friend to listen to us and then. Please rate this podcast. Please review this podcast. Please get a friend to listen to us and then.